Welcome to Pets Tell the Truth. This program is dedicated to understanding our animal companions on a deeper level. I'm Dr. Agnes Thomas, psychologist and animal telepathic communicator. I'll be your host as we listen to what our animal friends are saying and as we appreciate the way they view the world, their missions, and their spiritual insights. Today's show is being brought to you by Garnett Publishing of Cleveland, Ohio. Garnett is calling for finished manuscripts, so if you would like to see your manuscript in print, contact them at www.garnettpublishing.com or telephone them directly at area code 216-458-6100. They are the publisher of my book, Pets Tell the Truth, A Mystical Journey into the Animal Mind. Also, Animals Tell the Truth, Wisdom Cards. We will shortly have a new book coming out called The Sacred Knowledge of Animals. Tonight, we will be discussing healing touch for animals. And my guest is Carol Commoter, the person who developed the Commoter method of healing touch for animals. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thanks, Agnes. I really appreciate you having me on your show. I look forward to sharing Healing Touch for Animals with your listeners.
Oh, yes. We are really excited about this. This is very in tune with what we have been talking about in terms of understanding the animal aura, its energy field, its energy in general. For those who are listening and have never heard of Healing Touch for Animals, please tell us a little bit about what it is.
Healing Touch for Animals works with the energy field in and around the body. It's like an electromagnetic field, and what our Healing Touch for Animals practitioners provide is balance and clearing of that field so that the body can heal more appropriately. The National Institute of Health recognizes energy work as what they call a biofield therapy, and that's what we work with Healing Touch for Animals.
Okay. Now, when you say biofield, mm-hmm. are you talking about the same thing as what Valerie Hunt talked about, the energy field or the human energy field around humans and the energy field around animals?
Yes, absolutely. We refer to it as the energy field. And so it's an energy field therapy.
Okay. And I know from my work, my study on the auras of animals, it can be photographed.
Yes.
It can be recorded from. Valerie did that. Also, I had a lady on, Nancy Broadbent, about a month ago, and she is a person who can touch it. And she says it's very sensitive. You have to have very sensitive hands to pick it up, but it's like a resistance. Is that what you're feeling when you feel the energy field?
Well, the energy field presents itself in many ways, and it gives a tactile feeling. It could be a pressure. It could be a vibration. It could be a frequency. It could give you different sensations in your hands, like temperature. It could be heated or cooled. It could have an access of a tactile experience that is void, so there's not a sensation at all. And it depends on what is going on with the particular individual you're working with.
And
every
so
energy field is different, and so those tactile experiences give us the opportunity to monitor what's going on in the body.
More you practice, the more familiar you get with the oddities?
Right, absolutely.
Okay, until finally you build up a repertoire of just knowing, by touching the energy, what's going on in certain places in the body.
Yes,
yeah.
That's true. And I call it our energy memory. Our hands and our own experience allows us the energy memory so that we can determine where there are energetic disturbances within the energy field. And that then we can go in with our technique base and repair those areas that might be giving them difficulty.
Carol, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got interested in this and how you developed Healing Touch for Animals.
Okay. Well, I began my energy medicine teaching and schooling, I guess, with the Healing Touch program. And Healing Touch is an international program that revolves around human medicine. And I became certified as a practitioner and as an instructor for Healing Touch International. And because of that, I was able to start teaching in massage schools, which I am also a massage therapist.
Uh-huh.
And I began to teach in massage schools and hospitals, teaching healthcare providers the modality of Healing Touch. And I have a 13-year background as a veterinary technician.
Oh.
And because of that.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah, so because of that, I brought my careers, what I say, full circle. I brought my love of energy medicine and the body for humans into the perspective for the animal career that I had long ago, and loved them both, and brought that into a formulated program of Healing Touch for Animals. So it started out as my background as a therapist for humans, as far as the energy medicine is concerned.
Well, so you're really a natural. Is it sort of, you know, the universe sort of guided you to this point?
Well, that's what it feels like.
Yes.
And it's like one door opened after another, yes.
When you mention Healing Touch for Animals, a lot of people don't know, Healing Touch for Humans, a lot of people don't know what that is. Isn't that Barbara Brennan's work, like Hands of Light?
No, actually, Healing Touch was developed by a woman named Janet Menken, and she took several different modalities of teaching and brought them together under the umbrella called Healing Touch.
I see.
It's a very diverse, formulated modality of healing. And Barbara Brennan's work is recognized, and aspects of her work are taught within the Healing Touch program.
Oh, I see. So actually, Barbara Brennan was one of the subjects in Valerie Hunt's study.
Yes.
Yes, she was, because she was one of the people that could see auras.
I'm sorry, that what?
In Valerie Hunt's work, when she first started to record from the energy field,
yes.
And she could pick up different frequencies from different colors, Valerie couldn't see auras, so she hired 20 people that could see auras as subjects in her study. And then when they identified that her electrode was in a certain color, she'd say, tell me when I'm in the middle of this the color yellow. And then she would record from that. And Barbara was one of the people who was in her study as a subject, and also her work is based on that.
It's really fascinating how they all come together.
Yes, and who else was involved in that? I know Rosalind Breyer was.
Rosalind Breyer, yes, and she worked extensively with different research projects within UCLA under Valerie Hunt's supervision.
And you have experience with her too, don't you?
Only through the Healing Touch organization and the teachings that we have brought into the Healing Touch curriculum.
Okay. Can you give us some examples of what you would do if you had an animal that needed Healing Touch for Animals, that needed your help? How would you go about it? Just give us an example of one animal.
Okay. Well, we work with our hands, and we work with the energy of Mother Earth and universe with God energy, nature energy, whatever our belief system is, and so that the energy runs through our body as we are a conduit of the energy supply. So that helps us not to give away our own personal energy, but become the vessel and the pipeline for energy of healing, so that we can assist the body in their healing process. All healing is self-healing, and we are just the conduit for that. And what I might do, first of all, when I would assess an animal, I would first would maybe scan that body with my hands, or And I would, of course, go with any medical diagnosis from a veterinarian.
Uh-huh.
I would go with what an owner would tell me with that particular animal. And then I would go with the energetic assessment that I might do. And from there, my goal is to allow that energy field to become balanced and equalized throughout the entire body, both inside and outside in the energy field,
uh-huh.
as well as through the energy centers in the body.
Do you work with your hands to do that?
Yes, and it's basically hands-on, especially with the animals. But sometimes we have to do hands-off techniques in order to, for instance, clear the energy field. Or perhaps an animal is injured and is very sensitive to the touch, and so we would allow ourselves
to back off a little bit.
To back off, right, and to allow the energy to flow into the body without touching. But our animals, as you know, love the touch, and
they love
so
to be
the
touched.
More we connect with them on a physical level, the more they're able to receive the energy work that we provide for them.
But do you actually, Nancy Broadbent was telling me that she actually moves, oh, she only does people, and horses, she's a massage therapist too,
mm-hmm.
but she says that she can move the energy around just by pushing it without even touching the animal. She can move energy that feels like it's stuck or it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm describing this right with what she told me. But
our energy field is in constant flux, and so if there's a protrusion, the energy field is like a big bubble around
mm-hmm.
the body, and if there's a protrusion or there's an overactive area where there's energy
yes.
that pools in one spot, then we can actually redirect that energy so it's equalized throughout the body, and that's where the body can then allow itself to heal, because there's an equalization of the energy flow.
Equal distribution.
Throughout. Right. So we're looking for the symmetrical patterns of energy flow. And when she probably is talking about moving the energy, it's what we call congestion or blockage
mm-hmm.
within the energy. It's like there is a hose that's been kinked, and the flow of energy is not able to be accessed as easily. And so by doing the techniques and providing the energy work for the animals, we're able to provide the very best for them, balancing out, equalizing, expanding if the energy field needs to be expanded, or bringing it in a little bit if that's what's needed. And it just is, with the individual, every treatment that we do is actually an individual treatment. And because each one of us living beings, whether we're four-legged or two, are individuals. So we go by what's in front of us as we're working. And with the teachings, we learn how to do that with the different techniques.
Carol, tell me, what is it you actually experience in your hands when you touch the energy field?
Okay. Many things happen with your hands as you're working, and it depends on what's going on. In your hands, you might feel a temperature variation, or you might feel tingles in your fingertips or the palm of your hand. You might feel where your hand wants to sink in, like it's being sucked into the energy field because there's a void of energy there that needs to be resupplied. Or you might have a magnetizing area where your hands will go to one area of the body that needs more energy. Or it may be like a magnet being turned backwards on itself where it repels and it wants to push your hands away. So there are many different sensations. For instance, one of the most dramatic that I find is when an animal or person has gone through radiation
uh-huh.
Therapy, and the radiation after the radiation therapy, it feels very prickly, and it actually is, it feels like little needles in your hands, and so you want to clear that energy out of the body so that because it's an excess energy of resulting from the radiation. Doesn't mean that you're going to take away the effectiveness of the radiation. It's going to mean that you take away the excess. And what's not needed by the body so that the body heals at its very utmost capabilities.
You mentioned that sometimes it feels like a void.
Yeah.
Could you describe what that feels like a little more?
Well, it feels like the hand actually sinks into the body. You can be working with an animal, and all of a sudden the energy is just not there, or it is very minute. It feels like the hose has been kinked. And so you allow your hands to remain in those void areas to supply that energy field or that energy center with a more vibrant energy flow so that the body can right itself.
Do you actually restore it? Can you feel a difference?
Yes, because as you're facilitating the energy, what you're doing is allowing energy to flow into the body according to what's needed for the individual.
Oh, I see.
And because of our intention and highest good perspective that we hold and allowing our hands to be the tool, the energy flows through our hands the very the rate that the body needs. So I like to describe it as sometimes we need to use a fire hose perspective of energy flow, and that's what comes through because there is a super void in the energy field. Other times we only need an IV drip, and most of the time it's an evenness that like you had your hands over a water pipe and water was flowing through.
Mm-hmm. So there's many. You worked on horses?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, horses get a lot of what chiropractors call subluxations.
Uh-huh.
And it's because the rider's not on their ride, or they pull back too hard on the reins, they get a lot of...
Yeah, or they have a poor-fitting saddle.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you enter the energy field of the horse, and I think you told me this, that they have huge energy fields.
Yes. Well, all animals have energy fields much larger than we do as human beings.
Why do you suppose that is?
Because of their instinctual nature, and that energy is... the animals still hold their instinctual nature. We as human beings have forgotten that part. And so we have pulled our energy fields in, whereas they are usually about 10 times the size that we would be if we were
the energy field.
Yes.
In other words, our aura.
Right, right. Yes, that's the metaphysical term for energy field. Yes, so when a horse is standing in an arena, his energy field encompasses that arena. So we have to be very mindful as we come into that horse's
into their
presence, right, that we are grounded and centered and that we are focused on what we are doing rather than being scattered because they will pick it up.
What it feels like if a horse, say, has a lumbar subluxation or a dislocation? What would that feel like to your hands?
I recently worked on a horse with a spinal injury, and
mm-hmm.
It actually, in the area of the injury, felt very invasive. It felt like a little bulldozer was going through there. There was an expansion of the energy field there that was erratic. So there was a pulsation to it. There was a heated area, and it felt very different than the areas of the spine that were not injured.
Did it feel like waves coming out?
Not necessarily waves.
But
it was more pronounced than that, Agnes. It was it was almost like a pushing away of my hand, and then it would subside, and a real pushing. I would say maybe violent waves. It was much stronger than what I would think a waveform would be. But
wow.
Yeah, and then with the work that we did, it smoothed out, it eased, but you could see visible structure change in the animal with the muscle relaxation. And what's so fun about the animals, when you work with them, they will help to move their bodies so that the energy flows better. And they actually help you with any kind of treatment that you do because they know how energy runs through their body, and they're not adverse to moving, stepping one step to the left or right,
mm-hmm.
or stretching to help that energy flow.
Yeah, they're very very attuned to their bodies. They're very intuitive. They're very intelligent.
Absolutely.
I run across a lot of, because I'm a telepath, and a lot of people call me, and I can see inside the body, and what I see are a lot of twisted sacrums on horses. And so if a horse has a twisted sacrum, I usually recommend a chiropractor. But that must feel really weird to your hands.
Well, it's very interesting, because what happens with the work that we do, we provide a great relaxation as we provide the treatments. And that relaxation response allows the muscle tissue to soften. And when you have luxation or the body is out of alignment,
yes.
then what's happening is that the ligaments and muscle tissues are constricting and actually pulling that out of alignment. So when the relaxation comes in and those muscles relax, then the body goes back into the place it's supposed to be. So oftentimes you will, especially with the horses, because their spine is so big, when that relaxation takes place, they might just move a twitch with their body as you have your hands on them, facilitating the energy. And they will, you'll hear a kerchunk or a little clicking.
Like cracking your knuckles?
Yeah, that's absolutely, that's what it sounds like. And it is where the spine is actually going back into the proper place.
Tell me about the relaxation response. How deep is it, and what happens to facilitate the healing?
Well, the relaxation response is the key to the work that we're doing. And as you facilitate the energy, that's what we create. With that relaxation response, what happens is that we work with the endorphins in the brain, because with relaxation, the endorphins release and the dopamines release. And with those chemicals from our brain stimulating the tissue, what happens is that the constricted muscles relax, the tendons relax. With relaxed muscle tissue, then more circulation comes into the body. And with the increased circulation, as we all know, oxygen and nutrients come in. Our hormones are regulated to where we have greater metabolism, and it works, allows our body to work better. Enzymes come in to help with digestion. The toxins that are held in the body, that which causes pain and illness, are helped to ease and to flush out of the body through the system. And it helps to generate, that relaxation gives the body more access to generate cell production and healing. But ultimately what this work does, I feel, is that it regulates our immune system. And our immune system is the key to healing. And all of the research that you're seeing these days are keyed into that immune system. Because if the body says, oh, I'm not feeling so well today, that immune system has to kick in and assist the body in the healing process so that
rebound,
we can get well. Right. And healing does take place.
Yeah. Did you ever treat an animal that had a chronic problem?
Oh, absolutely.
How is that different than just an acute injury?
Well, acute injuries, they're usually localized. It's not a systemic related issue. When you have chronic issues such as osteo disease or arthritis, the animal's affected all over the body. What happens with the energy field is that it sucks in closer to the physical body, and the pain reactors or the neuroreceptors that fire out pain into the body, they bump up against that constricted energy field and then ricochet back into the body. So as we do the work of facilitating energy through Healing Touch for Animals, what we're doing is actually expanding that energy field to a greater level, giving the animals a larger bubble to work in, to give you a visualization. And those same neuroreceptors fire and they dissipate before they hit the edge of the energy field. So we see relaxation, we see pain relief because of that expanded energy around the body.
Does arthritis is the body's attempt to repair itself. Have you ever observed or witnessed a healing touch for animals relieving the stresses on the spine to the extent that the arthritis resorbs into the body?
I have actually seen where an arthritic dog who has had so much pain with the hip joints that are deteriorating,
mm-hmm.
and the arthritis that's sitting in, that with regular treatments from practitioners as well as the owner, that the energy field has righted the physical part of the body, and so the physical part of the body has healed itself, and that can happen with any kind of situation, and with the acute energy field.
Mm-hmm. So the toxins are released and then carried away as waste, right?
Right.
Okay.
And that's where the immune system kicks in, because the immune system is saying, this is not the right way to be as in a healthy body.
Yes, this
and
is
so the immune system sends in all of their little properties that it takes to help release that inappropriateness from the body and allows the body to heal itself.
This reminds me a little bit of when I go to the chiropractor and he uses something called an activator, and he snaps one of my muscles because I have a very badly diseased back.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll snap the muscles to loosen them up, and then he can put my back back in place.
Mm-hmm.
And he always says, drink a lot of water and all that kind of stuff because it released the toxins. But I can actually feel that the activator, whatever it was, has done something to the muscle so that it no longer feels knotted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're saying that you do
Well, the
something.
Activator gives a stimulation to the muscle.
Okay.
And the way that we're working is through stimulation of the energy into the muscles or into the energy centers, which are the plug-ins, so like the chakra system of the body. And so it works in the same fashion, yet we're not using a manipulative tool.
Right, and you're not causing pain.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Carol, tell me this. The chakra system, most of us know what the chakras are in human because we've seen them. Are they different in animals?
They're placed the same as in humans, but because the animals are on all four legs,
mm-hmm.
we stand upright, so we work on a vertical system. With the animals, we work on a horizontal system off of the spine because animals are more touchy for the most part about their bellies. So we work off of the spine and access several of the chakras off the spine. And then the brow and the crown chakra are the same. The heart is the heart chakra is in the middle of the chest.
Okay.
So the other four chakras, the root, sacral, solar plexus, and throat, are accessed off of the spinal area of the body.
The crown chakra, where is the crown chakra in that?
The crown chakra is at the top of the head on the base of the occipital ridge, so it's a little bit different than ours.
Oh, yes,
it's
okay.
Because their skull sits a little bit at a different angle than a human skull. That occipital ridge on the dogs, I call it the smart point,
mm-hmm.
Where their little skull comes into a little point at the base of the occipital ridge.
Right.
And that's where the crown chakra is. The brow is the same, just a little bit above the eyebrows. The heart is in the middle of the chest, and our hands just kind of cup over that chest area, and wherever that relaxed position is at the heart is where the heart chakra is actually placed. And then the throat chakra is in front of the withers. The solar plexus is at the base of the rib cage off of the spine in the middle of the back. Sacral chakra is just in front of that hip line. And then root chakra is at the head of the tail.
We have to take a break here for a moment.
Okay.
But we'd like to invite people to call in with questions related to what we're talking about tonight. The toll-free number here is 1-877-876-5227. If you are watching us or you're listening live on bbsradio.com, it should be on your screen as well. If you're listening from another room, the number here is 877-876-5227. This program is sponsored by Garnett Publishing in Cleveland, Ohio. If your church or organization is looking for a fundraising project, why not have your members get together and contribute their favorite recipes and publish your organization's own cookbook? Your church, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, other organizations that you would like to help. Our church did it, and it was a really fun project. Some ladies even wrote a paragraph about how long the recipe was in their family and special days that particular dish was served as a tradition. Visit their website at www.garnettpublishing.com. Carol, how would someone go about obtaining a treatment for an animal? So I live in Cleveland, Ohio. Like, where would I go to get a treatment on one of my cats that, let's say, has arthritis? Well, how do I know where your locations are?
The students of Healing Touch for Animals are all over the country. We
uh-huh.
have taught people in every quadrant of the country. And we have an extensive database within the office. And we're in the process right now of adding to our website practitioner listings. It's not quite up yet, but it will be in the near future. But the office is certainly the place to go, emailing or giving the office a call.
Okay, could you give us that number?
Sure. It's the Healing Touch for Animals office, and the number is 303-470-6572. And we're in the Rocky Mountain time zone, so we are 2 hours earlier than you are.
In Cleveland. Okay, this is broadcast all over the world, so
okay.
It would be Rocky Mountain time.
Right.
Okay, so please tell us what the website is.
The website is, I'll give you the address first of all. It's www.healingtouchforanimals.com, and four is all spelled out, F-O-R. And the website gives you a lot of information about what the program is all about of Healing Touch for Animals, what our practitioners do as they are practicing and as they offer treatments for individuals around the country. It also shows a listing of the different workshops that we have and offer throughout the country and in Canada, and we're also in the Netherlands right now. So allowing the energy facilitators to assist the animals. It gives a lot of information about what energy fields are, what Healing Touch for Animals does as the body is receiving a treatment, and also how we have lots of testimonies and stories about animals who have received the work. It also has an extensive chart that shows the physiological response that I spoke about earlier. And so we have a formulated chart that shows the components of how the body reacts to Healing Touch for Animals.
I first heard about the Commenter method of Healing Touch for Animals by a lady in Cleveland. Her name was Elaine Galabek.
Yeah.
And she was going to have, it may have been you,
yes,
as a workshop, and I was going to be out of town, so I was unable to come.
Mm-hmm.
And last week I had a workshop here to teach people how to communicate with animals. And one of the students had learned your method, and she was a veterinary technician also, and she wanted to do something more, and she just could not say enough about it.
Oh, great.
And it was wonderful to hear, because I knew that you were going to be on this week.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, good. Oh, listen to my show this week, because Carol's going to be on.
That's exciting.
But she was really quite good. She was also good as an animal communicator. She looked, you know, she learned very quickly.
Uh-huh.
Carol, tell
part
us about...
Of my, part of my program and the vision of what our program does is that we hold a cooperative adjunct, and not only an adjunct, but a cooperative method of assisting an animal with their healing process, utilizing the veterinary profession.
Oh, sure.
So it's not like we are better than the veterinarians or that they are better than us. We have different tools, and what our goal is to assist that animal in its very best health care. And so I see veterinarians and vet techs and trainers and people who are animal health care providers and groomers and the doggy daycare people that come into our workshops to learn this work so that they can provide the very best for their animals. So
that's really what we want.
I love that professional aspect of our work. And so,
I did a lot of work on animals. I've operated on thousands of them, and because I came from the medical field, it's easy for me to tap into their energy field, which is when you communicate with an animal, you're actually talking to spirit, or you're talking to the energy field.
Right.
You're not talking to the brain, because there's no difference of talking to an animal that's in the physical dimension or one that is passed on and in the afterlife. So you're talking to what is essentially their spirit, which is the energy field.
Right.
And so... because I have that experience, it's very easy for me to see inside the body, and I'm able to see tumors and things like that. And I have a lot of veterinarians that call me, because sometimes you just don't know what's going on. And likewise, I know that I'm not a veterinarian, and I would not presume to to make a diagnosis. Hello?
Hello. Agnes?
Yes, do we have a caller?
Hi. Yes, this is Dolores Gray.
Yeah.
And I have a question.
Okay, go ahead,
Carol.
Dolores.
Carol's her name, right?
Carol, yes.
Yes. Carol, I was wondering if you could give me a little crash course on, I have to go to, my cat's been admitted to the hospital. She's got lymphoma. She's received treatment for it, you know, the chemotherapy. And the problem is that they sent her home, and they gave me antibiotics, and she just went downhill. And I think that she's now they're saying that she's blind.
Okay.
And so she's in the hospital. They're giving her fluids. I mean, she looks a lot better now that, you know, that they have her on the fluids, but the doctor thinks that she's experienced some blindness.
Well, that may be because of the disease. It may be because of many different things. So I can't say that without actually... going more in depth with the case. Are you asking for what to do with your cat now?
Yeah, or would your website be able to give me information, because I've never visited it before? But is there something I can do?
She would probably do well for a treatment with balancing her energy field.
That would be very good, Dolores.
To support her body so that she can self-heal.
Because I went to visit her today, and I was very nervous when I saw her, my little kitty, laying there like that, and I just felt like, you know, what could I do, will I be calm enough to do this treatment?
Yeah.
Well, when you visit an animal and you don't know the work, what I tell my clients that call in is because you don't have a clear understanding of how to do the work yet, then just to... as you pet the animal, to project all the love that you have for them through your hands, and that can do great wonders. I would think that she would do well to have a treatment.
Could I get someone here locally?
I don't know what area you live in.
She's in Cleveland.
So we have several practitioners who have done training with the Healing Touch for Animals program.
Oh, thank God.
And we can get you in touch with someone in your area.
Oh, thank you.
Dolores, if you call me, in fact, I was going to call you after the show to see how Squeaker was doing. Squeaker is getting chemotherapy right now.
Oh, I see.
But I think that she can really benefit by some healing touch just to balance her energy. And I have a name of a woman in the area who does it.
Yeah, Elaine Galovic is
Elaine
very good.
Galovic.
But we also have several different people who are in the Cleveland area.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
All right, so
they can also.
What should she do? Go to your website?
Yes, she can go to the website and email us or give us a call, and we'll be available tomorrow to take calls to help with those who are needing help.
Oh, Carol, great. What is your email?
The email is, the office email is info@healingtouch4animals.com. And the phone number for the Healing Touch office is 303-470-6572.
Oh, thank you.
Dolores, where exactly is the lymphoma?
Well, her liver enzymes were off, so I'm assuming that that's where it is.
Can you talk a little louder, honey? I'm having a hard time.
Well, her liver enzymes were very high. They were off kilter, and I'm assuming it has to do with the liver.
It's probably in the area of the pancreas, the gallbladder, the liver. She was so uncomfortable.
Right.
The weekend she was very sickly.
If that's what we're working with.
Yeah, lymphoma.
Lymphoma is a systemic disease, so it affects the entire body, and it may be exacerbating in the liver right now. But it's a systemic disease, and so the whole body needs to be addressed.
I don't get the connection with the blindness.
Well, there's a shutdown there of some sort, and I don't know all of the aspects either because I'm not a veterinarian. But we could certainly consult with your doctor if they are available to us. And
Dr. Hamilton is wonderful. He's a oncologist at the veterinary referral clinic in Cleveland, and he is outstanding. He's worked on several of my cats, and he's now working and doing the chemotherapy on Squeaker. Mm-hmm. But, you might ask. Let's find out a practitioner in your area, Dolores.
That would be great.
So
because
if you
I
want
think
to
that
us
would
a
be
call,
very
either,
healing to her.
Yeah, either call Agnes or myself at the Healing Touch for Animals office, and I'll give you that number again. It's 303-470-6572, and we'll see what we can do to get you some help.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay.
That is a very good idea.
I'll hold the kitty in my meditation and prayers.
Yeah,
thank
she's
you
a
so
real
much.
Cute
her
little
name
kitty.
Is Squeaker, and she's
solid black. Her name is Squeaker,
Squeaker,
and she's solid black, and she's just a deer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You for calling. That was a very good idea. One thing I wanted to ask you, have you noticed that as the energy moves around the body, the energy field, have you noticed that it goes in a clockwise direction?
Yes, it does. The energy centers themselves create a vortex. That's what chakra is.
Yes.
It's a Sanskrit word that means wheel or vortex. And when we work with this work, it's a clockwise spin of the energy flow. What happens is that as the energy balances throughout each of the chakras in the body, it permeates outside of the chakra system and into the energy field, and it creates that clockwise flow throughout the body. And what we look for is the evenness of that flow.
Yes. I did not do this in my experiment, but somebody who photographed and actually got a movie of chakras going in a clockwise direction in humans when viewed from the top, okay, this would be from the top of their head, noticed that it goes in a clockwise direction except when there's a full moon, and then it changes polarity and reverses direction.
I have not found that in the physical body. I haven't found that. So,
it, just something
Yeah, I haven't found that, but that's very interesting.
It is kind of interesting. It kind of explains why people get a little crazy on the full moon.
Yeah, that's true. That could be.
Tell us a little about a healing touch workshop, What does it do, and is it like, do you learn it at once, or are there different levels, or how does this work?
We have a 4-level program, and we work in weekends. The first 2 levels, level 1 and 2, are on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, and then level 3 and 4 are all day Friday, all day Saturday, and Sunday. What we do is the 4 levels of healing touch work upon each other, so they build upon each other as in the training. And then after the completion of the level 4, you're able to submit for certification as a healing touch for animal certified practitioner. And so there's homework to do after level 4 in order to show the quality of work that you do, providing your ability to energetically assess and treat an animal for any problem that might be happening, and show different variations of how we use our work, whether it's an illness, an injury, or a chronic problem, or if it's a behavioral issue, which this work helps with tremendously with behavioral issues, or if it's in training for competition, or if it's through end-of-life process with euthanasia or the death process of an elderly animal.
So, tell me about competition. I have a lot of clients that have show dogs, and one thing or another may go wrong. In dogs that are highly trained to do that, and they just love it, what would cause them to be sort of out of sync with their person?
Well, what I see is that when you go into a competition setting, there is a lot of extracurricular activity going on.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many people there watching the dogs. There are trainers and the dogs themselves. And what I find is that with whether it's a dog or whether it's a horse, and I have worked a lot with competitions with the horses as well, and what I find is that there is so much competition and outside activity around that animal that they start focusing on what's going on, and so they lose their grounding and their focus.
Oh, okay.
And so what happens on a physiological level, or the scientific piece of that, is that it takes them out of their focus. And so they expend their adrenaline.
Oh, so it's scattered?
So if you do a treatment prior to the competition, what happens is that they relax themselves. They allow themselves to go into their focus. The competition animals are highly trained, so they already know what their job is during that competition. And so with that relaxation that comes in, what happens is that when they step into that ring, then that adrenaline can be used for the competition itself, and they do their very best.
I see.
And with that, I want to just do a little note with that. When we do treatments with an animal, we never ask them to win. We ask them to do their very best. We ask them to do their, because they are highly trained, they know their job.
Mm-hmm.
We ask them to do their very best and have the most fun they can with their partners. So so what that does is it takes a little edge off, and if there is an animal who does not win the competition, quote-unquote win, then they know that they have done their best and that they can strive greater at the next competition.
Yeah, that when I talk with them, they really do it out of love for their person.
They do,
They don't really understand winning.
Yeah.
They know everybody claps for them, and you know, and everybody's real happy, but they don't compete because they really don't feel differences among the candidates or the participants.
Right, it's not about the other dogs or
other
horses.
No, it's not. It's really about them
it's
and
about
their mommy,
pleasing.
And if they're enjoying their little routine and so on. What does it mean if an animal has its muscle tone? It sort of becomes weak.
Well, there's several different issues physically that could cause that, and if you see a definite change in the muscle tone, a veterinarian needs to be seen.
Okay.
Because there's something going on in the physical body to cause that. When we see that with animals who are perhaps overweight, it's because of the weight issue. It could be a tumor that is harboring within the body. And so you really need to get a diagnosis right away to see what might be going on. There might, for instance, my own kitty had some issues going on recently in February, and he was losing some weight and having some trouble not keeping his food down. And so even though I balanced his energy field and cleared him and he felt okay, I took him in and had a veterinary diagnosis, and we found out through blood work that he has kidney disease. And so we've changed his diet. He also has a potassium problem, and so we're giving him potassium, and he's, along with the energy work that we're doing, he's really changed quite a lot, and he's doing very well, has great quality of life now. So it's very important to integrate and to access our availability to our veterinarians, because they have great tools to help us understand.
I have a friend that has two champion dogs, and I can't remember the breed, but they're both from the same litter.
Uh-huh.
And there's a tremendous, they have to keep their tail up during competition.
Right.
And the one, all of a sudden, his tail becomes weak. He feels different than his brother.
Uh-huh.
And he feels weak to me. The muscle tone is different, and they're only, 8 months old. So it shouldn't be that way.
No. Uh-uh.
Well,
she's there might
taken
be
him to a veterinarian, but they said everything is okay. But but he doesn't feel the same.
Well, perhaps there's an energy disturbance that could be assisted with that. Sometimes maybe there's a depletion somewhere within the energy system, and by repairing that and enhancing and then stabilizing and creating a stronger foundation for the energy field, then the physical body will catch up.
Oh, I see. Okay, I will pass that along to her. She's a really nice lady.
Great.
And but I could feel right away that he wasn't feeling good. And even though I telepathically told him to remember to keep that tail up, she says he didn't. He couldn't concentrate long enough to keep it up.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the other dog, who's also in the competition, his tail just stays up curled all the time. I need to take a little short break here.
Okay.
Be sure to listen to BBS Radio on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. for Metaphysical Straight Talk with my friend Atira. Atira is a gifted psychic who can tune into your heart's mission in this life. She is associated with Edgar Casey's Association for Research and Enlightenment and is a internationally recognized and sought-after speaker on spirituality and metaphysics. She is on Thursday on BBS Radio at this same time. If there is a particular topic you would like to hear about animals, or you would like to make a private appointment for a reading with me, please call me at TalkToPets or email me at TalkToPets@AOL.com. My fee is $35 for 20 minutes and $50 for a half hour. You can also visit my website at www.PetsTellTheTruth.com. If you like the program that you are listening to, you can contact the producers at bbsradio.com and let them know that you would like to hear more of this kind of programming. Carol, thank you again so much for being our guest tonight. I could just talk to you for hours. please give us again your website and how someone interested in becoming involved in Healing Touch for Animals can get in touch with you.
Okay, thank you so much, Agnes. I appreciate you allowing me to share my passion with this work and the program of Healing Touch for Animals. People can check out the website at www.healingtouchforanimals.com. The office phone number is 303-470-6572. And I really appreciate you allowing me to share this work and know that we have many practitioners around the country. And if someone who is listening is not in the Cleveland area, we can certainly help them to find a practitioner in their area.
Okay, because you're actually home based in Colorado, right?
Right, in the Denver area.
In the Denver area. And,
right.
Well, I think this is just a very, very valuable program that you have developed.
Oh, thank you
so
much.
And I think it will do, it's really badly needed.
Oh, thank you.
And it is very much in keeping with the way I understand the bioenergy field, and it's also the basis for my work. Next week, my guest is going to be Becky Barnes of Guiding Eyes for the Blind. And she's going to talk to us about what goes into training a seeing eye dog. And you won't want to miss this. Carol, thank you again very much. I can't tell you what a pleasure it was to have you on.
Thank you, Agnes. I enjoyed every minute of it, and I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.